Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy. Proudly sponsored by Hum Finance. Why wait? Get it now. Split your payments with Hum. Visit shophum.com. Flexify Europe Limited, trading as Hum, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, we want to give a huge shout out to our current show sponsors, Hum. Now, with Hum, you can spread the cost of purchases up to €30,000 when buying online or in-store through any of their retail partners. Now, it can help you manage your finances and make larger purchases more affordable. And with Hum, it's so simple. You can get approval through their website at shophum.ie. That's shophum.ie. Or apply directly in store. And they've so many retail partners, like, for example, B&Q, DFS, Harvey Norman, DID Electrical, Easy Living Interiors, and so much more. And you literally can apply in store. Now, keep in mind that Hum is a form of credit, and it's important to consider your ability to repay the amount borrowed. But you can rest assured that Hum is regulated by the financial regulator, unlike some other companies that let you spread payments. And we would like to thank Hum for being the current sponsors of the Opinions Matter podcast. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? In the UK, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has promised to bring down migration numbers by tightening up the rules on those allowed to come to the UK. All visa routes into the UK will require people to have a certain level of English proficiency. So people coming with the main visa holders, like dependents, will also have to have a basic understanding of English, which they may currently not have. So the level of English proficiency needed depends on the visa, with a skilled worker visa requiring at least upper intermediate level. Currently, it requires just an intermediate level. And to extend visas, people will have to show progression in their English. So basically, in order to get a working visa to live in the UK, you have to be able to speak English. And the question that we're asking today is, should we do the exact same thing here in Ireland? Should people coming into the country have to have proficiency in the English language? And we know that there are many people in this country from foreign countries who haven't a word of English, can't string two sentences together.
And how do they, just as a matter of, asking the wrong person, I suppose, but how do they survive in a country where they don't speak the language? I know I've been to countries before. There's nothing worse than being in a country before. Forget about living there, but travelling through it. I remember when I was in Romania, and I was only there for a few days, mind you, but nobody could speak English where I was in Romania. And it's very, first of all, it's very intimidating that you can't even ask for something as small as where is the toilet in the local language. How can you survive in a country where you don't speak the language?
It's difficult. It is difficult. But there are countless thousands of people who have come into this country without a word of English. And I don't know how they survive, but they do. Sometimes they're in groups and they can talk amongst themselves. But the question is simple. Should you have to have proficiency in English to come live in Ireland? Now, obviously, for EU citizens, it's not as much of an issue because EU citizens are entitled to come and live in Ireland regardless of their English. We're talking about people from further afield, people from countries outside the European Union. So we can't apply it to European Union citizens because they're allowed to come here whether they speak English or not. Okay, so forget about that. We're talking about people from further afield.
I mean, I tweeted earlier and upset a lot of people on my Twitter account when I said about, I was basically saying about the amount of Brits that go to live in Spain, the expats, the millions of Brits that live in Spain. They've never even bothered to try and learn Spanish. They've moved, by the way, as you know, the UK is outside the EU, so they've moved out of the UK into the EU. They're non-EU citizens. They've moved to Spain. None of them bother their arse trying to learn Spanish. They don't even assimilate. A lot of them don't even assimilate with Spanish culture. The first thing they do is they go to the nearest English bar. They want to watch EastEnders in the afternoon on the telly. They want to watch EastEnders. You know, they speak English. They get upset. And I've seen this when I've been in Spain. English people, a lot of them, when they're in Spain, they get upset when the local waiter can't speak English. I'm like, sorry, this is his country. This is his country. He can... It's you coming to his country that's supposed to be able to speak that language.
Okay, so as we know, there are a lot of migrants have come into Ireland. And if they're from the European Union, we can't dictate to them whether they speak good English or not, because being a member of the European Union entitles them to come here regardless.
Okay, but let's say someone from Sudan.
Okay, if they don't have good English, should they be allowed into the country? That's really the question that we're asking. Should people from outside the European Union migrating to Ireland have to have English before they're given leave to stay? That's really the question that we're asking. Our number is 085 825 2626. If you would like to get involved in this conversation, let's kick off with an Irish man who is living in Spain.
I live in Spain. I don't speak much Spanish. I've been living here for 3 years. I have a 2-year-old son. I'm a girl in Spanish, and she's doing a lot of stuff for me. Blah, blah. I've been working ever since I got here. I pay tax, I do everything, but I speak very little Spanish. I can understand it a lot more than I can speak it. And even at that, you have to speak to me slow and basic like you would someone learning English. So, my problem is with that is the government going to subsidise classes? Is the government going to offer classes for things like that? Because at the end of the day, it's all well and grand saying nearly 50,000 people have to go and learn English in the country, but who's going to be able to subsidise that? Who's going to be able to offer that to people? Is it going to be affordable? Because then companies are going to rise their prices even more to get a quick profit out of it that lasts for a couple of months or weeks. So I think if you want people to learn your language in the country, the government should do their most to subsidise half of that. And I don't mean give money to people to do it, because then people are just going to see it as extra free money. You should be able to register on the government website, and if you pass all the clearance checks, the government shouldn't allocate you a spot in a school. The money goes straight from the government to the school, and a lot like non-European residents, they have to meet certain criteria to stay in the country. Like, they have to at least go to 90% of English classes, or else they get deported or issue deportation section. That should be the same in their country for even European holders. That if you come from Germany or the Slavic countries like Serbia and things like that, you should be speaking English at a certain level within a year or two. And if you're not, you get deported regardless of your EU status.
Now, just referring back to Glenn's message that I played a moment ago, he's basically saying that the state should pay for English lessons for people who are living and working in the country. And if within 2 years they haven't learned decent English, throw them out, regardless.
I mean, you look at someone like Joseph Puska.
Correct, he needed an interpreter for his whole court case.
Yeah, you'll all know who Joseph Puska is. We can't say too much about him.
But you can. You can say whatever you want about him.
Okay, but anyway, you'd all remember the Ashling Murphy murder trial.
He murdered her.
Yeah. Now, Joseph Puska had been living here for...
A long time.
A long time, many years. And when it came to his court case and the investigation by the Gardaí, he needed a translator, paid for by you and I, by the way. And I doubt translators are that cheap.
No, they're not.
You can have one for a tenner an hour.
No.
And all Puska's interviews that were done with the Gardaí.
And the entire court case,
he needed a translator there. Now, how in God's name could he have been living here that long and still not understand basic English?
That's the question we're asking you. Our number is 085-825-2626. Kevin, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Kevin?
Afternoon, lads. How are you keeping?
Good, thanks, Kevin. Should we insist that before anybody is granted leave to stay in Ireland, that they have perfect English or near perfect English?
No, I really don't think that's viable, lads. I think it's just stupid if you ask me. Like, how many students come over here and they don't really speak much. Like, let's say we have a Spanish student that comes over here, he wants to be a doctor. Now, obviously, you know, I know that they're not going to be immediately put in that kind of position. There's got to be a learning curve. They can come to school, learn the language, and kind of get into things. Like, it's just, it's linguistic racism that we're talking about here is what it is. And
We're not talking about somebody coming here on a student visa who might be here for a couple of years and then might leave again. We're talking about somebody who's granted leave to stay here on a permanent basis. And
let's use an example of that scumbag Puska, who was literally, before that crime happened, that horrific crime happened with Ashley Murphy, Puska had been living here for 10 years. That's a long time. To be living in Ireland for 10 years and to still need a translator seems bizarre to me, that you could be in a country for 10 years. Like, I don't know. No matter what country you'd move to, after 10 years, you would be able to have a conversation in the local language, wouldn't you? I know if I moved to Madrid tomorrow, in 10 years' time, I'd like to think I'd be fluent in Spanish. Yeah?
Yes, I would like to think so as well. But is it not reasonable, Kevin, to say that people should have to have a command of our main language here in Ireland before they're granted leave to stay in the country? Not be to be granted a student visa, but to be allowed to stay permanently?
No, I really don't think that should be a requirement. On top of that, how do you enforce that? You know, like, is everyone going to have a meeting with someone and have, like, an English test?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how much money is that going to take out?
Well, okay, if you're applying for leave to stay, obviously there will come a point where you will be interviewed. And if you need a translator for that interview to get residency status here in Ireland, then maybe you should be turned down.
I really do think that's linguistic racism. I mean, like, you have people that take up languages really slowly. Like, I've studied a number of languages, and I've lived in different countries in Europe. And one of them, I went over to Italy when I was doing my chef's training, and I was there for nearly a year, and I barely spoke enough to even take the orders. Like, I can't tell you how many times I got my ass kicked in the kitchen because I didn't know what was being said to me. And if someone had told me around to me and said, you have to go home now, you're useless to us, like, I'd have been pretty offended, like, you know what I mean?
Okay, so you see no need to speak the main language that we speak here in Ireland before you're granted leave to stay in the country. You should be granted leave to stay if you have no words of English at all.
No, I think you should have a basic grasp. Like, I mean, I think after a while, if you're here for a certain amount of time, it's only natural that you come to you. Now, your man Pushka, and I agree with Jeremy what you're saying there. I don't know how the hell after 10 years he couldn't have a conversation. But I think it's reasonable to say that most people, if they're in the country immersed in the language for, say, 6 months to a year, they would have a decent grasp.
You'd like to think. You'd like to think. But if you use him as an example, and there are many others, Kevin, who are living here in Ireland who have zero English. Absolutely zero English. Surely they shouldn't be allowed to stay in the country.
In fact, Kevin, just in case you think these are all made up stories, we sold a pram about 2 months ago. We were selling a pram on, geez, now I can't even remember the website because my wife put it up. What's that website that you sell stuff?
Buy and sell.
I think it was eBay, buy and sell. No, it was buy and sell, I think. Anyway, we were selling the pram and my wife got messages from someone. Anyway, we agreed on the sale. And I was to meet this woman on Cahill Brewer Street with the pram. And I arrived with the pram and took it out of the boot, and she arrived along. And it became clear quite quickly that the woman was a foreign national. I don't have a problem with that at all. But she literally had, I don't know, she obviously wasn't the one that was messaging my wife about the sale because the English was perfect in the message. But when she turned up, she literally did not have one word of English. And I'm standing at the side of Cahill Brewer Street with a double buggy in my hand, and she's speaking in her, which it turned out was Romanian, the language that she was speaking in. And she was literally...
How do you know that?
Because I had someone else with me. I'll talk about that another time. But I had someone else with me that happened to know someone who's Romanian. She said, did you know that she's... Or Romani is what she says or whatever. But this woman who was living in Ireland has children in Ireland because she had kids with her as well and had more children on the way, could not even converse with me as much to say... Here's the money for the pram. She literally couldn't speak. Now, I don't know, how do you go into government services, get things? How do you go into a doctor? How would you go into a doctor if your child is sick when you don't have a word of English? Like, that's just crazy to me.
And you see, Kevin, the question is it possible to integrate into Irish society if you don't have any English at all?
Of course it's not.
Because you can't walk around.
No, of course. I'm not saying it's possible to integrate into Irish society without having a bit of English. Obviously, you need to have the basics. But But to turn around and have it, like, you must speak perfect English or you're out, I think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm big to apologies. I think that's blanket linguistic racism. And you just can't do that.
Okay, well, should you have then at least a basic standard of English before you're granted leave to stay? At least be able to converse with the immigration people interviewing you?
Yes, I think that you should have a basic grasp. You should be able to hold a conversation. Like, you know, like just the basic.
Okay, but you know, yeah. And I know that there are many, many, many people in this country,
this woman,
who was a Roma gypsy, and they speak Romani. Okay,
that's the language they actually speak. Okay,
And she had zero English at all.
Absolutely, to the point that we could not conduct the sale, because now I did end up giving her, I just took the money that she had in her hand and gave her the pram, but she couldn't even talk to me and tell me how much money she had for the pram. And I don't understand how that is possible, that you could live here for that long. So if this woman, and
she's gone home to her family and they all speak Romani as well,
but as well her kids are going to be going to school.
How does Jeremy know that she didn't, that she wasn't just putting on, that she didn't know that she didn't speak English? Because I know a few of them that would do that in order to, like, maybe get out of paying you, maybe give you 50 quid instead of 100 for your pram, Jeremy. You know what I mean?
And, you know, she could have been, but I don't know. I just got the feeling that she didn't have a word of English.
And okay, stay there for one second, Kevin. Kevin doesn't think it should be necessary to have to prove very fluent English before being granted leave to stay in Ireland. A lot of you disagree with him.
By the way, there's people screaming at you, Kevin. No, not physically. Actually screaming at you in the comments here, and it's all caps lock everywhere. Caps lock. You're after pissing off a lot of people. Can you understand why people are annoyed with you?
Let them be pissed off. It's opinions matter. They don't have to agree. I mean, it's exactly my opinion.
I know. I'm delighted that they're pissed off with you, but can you understand why they're pissed off with you?
I can understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it.
Well, the latest one is get me onto that fucking clown. That must be it.
Okay. Very nice.
We'll try and get somebody.
Have a debate without calling out name calling.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Exactly.
All right, Kev, stay there for one second. 0858252626 is our WhatsApp number. Shane, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Shane?
How's it going?
Good, thanks, Shane. Now, you've just heard Kevin. He doesn't believe it should be necessary to speak fluent English before being granted leave to stay here in Ireland. What do you say?
Well, they should definitely integrate into our society and integrate the way of our living, you know, instead of us having to do it for them. Because when the Irish travel, we have to do it in every country.
I don't necessarily agree with you, Shane. When the Irish travel, I look at places like Sydney in Australia. The Irish community literally hang around together. They go to Irish centres. They go to Irish pubs. They only hang around with Irish people. I've seen them with my own two eyes. So
well, I've lived in other countries and I've always hung around with the local people and in their restaurants and all them sort of stuff, no problem. Like you know, like they're trying to change stuff in schools now, like, you know, because of foreign people coming into the schools. Like, why should their kids have to change their way of life?
Meaning what?
Like, my kid was in music lessons yesterday and one of the foreign kids' parents was saying, no, my daughter is not allowed to learn that type of music and all. And now the school are at having to change the songs and all just to suit that one child.
They were teaching kids certain songs.
Yeah, certain songs. They were teaching them how to play guitar, like, in the school. And the parent came into the school yesterday and went crazy and says, no, my kid's not to be learning them type of songs. And now the school has to change all the types of songs just to suit the one kid. Like,
well, unless they were teaching a song like I Kissed a Girl or Sexy and I Know It or something like that.
It was actually they were teaching them an Oasis song just on guitar. It's just guitar lessons. Like, those simple things like that. Like, all this, like, the skills are being made change. Like, you know,
I don't know about that. I don't think.
No, this is fact.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying this. Unless the parent has a complete dislike, like I do for Oasis, I can't think of any other reason why.
No, because he said it was their culture and their kids not to be learning songs like that, so it's in their culture.
That's mad. Because my son's class is multinational. There's literally every religion, which is brilliant. I think it's brilliant because Luke is learning all about Islam. He's learning about Hindus because some of his best friends are Hindus. He's learning all about, because I want my son to be open-minded, he's learning about all those different things. And I've never heard of anything like that where I think the vast majority of people that come here, despite what people think, I think they don't care how we live our life, and they're not trying to change how we live our life. Are they, Adrian? I don't know.
Well, some people would disagree, like Shane here. Okay, but Shane, so let's go back to the language thing. And Jeremy gave an example of...
The language thing, like, if you go to a different country, and as you said, you know, you're moving to another country to live there for the rest of your life, like people have, like Polish, right? Came here back in the boom. We're brilliant for the country, you know? And like I worked in Polish all my life, and they could catch on to English, and they live the Irish way of life. The great people in that, but then there's people coming here and have no interest at all. Like,
okay, so before anybody is given leave to stay here in Ireland, do you believe they should have to pass an English exam of some sort?
Well, they should try. Some of them like don't bother at all.
Let me go back to you, Kevin. They should at least be making an effort, because there are countless people who, as we discussed with the Joseph Pushka case, need an interpreter to scratch their arse, basically. That's not right, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I agree with Shane there. Like, an effort should be made, and you should have, like I said, the basics of English. But I don't think it should be necessary to be completely fluent. I mean, so long as you can get your point across to people and you can converse, you know, I think that's enough.
So it should be enough just to have a couple of fuckle, basically, a few words in English.
Yeah, I mean, just as a starting off, and obviously if you're here, if you're intending to be in Ireland for the rest of your life, you know, that I think after a certain amount of time, then yes, of course, you should be fluent. But I think just to start off with, just to be granted the visa to be able to go and get a job or go to school, you should only have the basics, a certain standard of English. I think like intermediate should be enough.
Well, our researcher here, Kira, has pulled up some figures for us, which you want me to read out. And this is going to make all your heads spin. Okay, and thanks for that, Kira. The cost of courts interpreters, yeah? So this is the cost to the taxpayer of having interpreters in the courts every week. How much would you say it is?
No idea.
20 grand a week.
Just for interpreters in the Irish courts.
It's going on interpreters in the Irish courts. That's absolutely crazy. So people are appearing in court and are saying to their solicitors, no, speak English. 20 grand a week.
Now that's insane, Kevin, isn't it?
It is, but again, I have to ask how many of those people are being genuine and how many are just turning around and taking the piss. And be honest now with me, lads, you know full well that some of them that are just going to take the piss and just trying to drag the process of the court case out as long as they can.
I know, but 4 million a year, we worked it out as, sorry, Kira worked it out as 4 million a year. That's a crazy amount. Money for nothing. Literally money for nothing.
What do you make of that, Shane?
Well, if these foreign people like that are coming in, keep on breaking the law, like, they shouldn't be given that type of service. Like, that type of money shouldn't be spent on them. They should be just sent out of the country. Because, like, you know, people get deported out of countries all the time. Like, why keep on, like, throwing all this money into it? Like, you know, if they're not willing to learn and try to help themselves out, basically just having basic English. They don't need to be masters at it. But, like, definitely enough to, like, you know, keep them going and talk to people and say hello or go to the shop or all this stuff. Because, like, they can say enough, like, when they're getting all this free money. Like,
okay,
you know,
so you believe, in order to stay in Ireland, you believe it should be a requirement that you have decent English?
By the way, that bill of 4 million a year on interpreters and all that, I will say this, if you do arrive at court, in the same way, have you ever been in court in a foreign country?
No, thank God.
I'd imagine it is terrifying. So, like, if one of you was in Thailand next week and you got into a fight and you assaulted someone
and you end up in court,
being arrested, you would be given an interpreter as well, and rightfully so. You can't be expected to turn up in court and not understanding the language that you
I know, but it's slightly different if it's somebody who's living here and has been living here for years as opposed to a tourist in Thailand who's there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 4 million.
Our number is 085-825-2626. I have to play this. Eddie.
How are you, lads? That idea in theory works, but in practice it doesn't. Because you're talking about people coming in from foreign countries like Sudan, etc., on visas, the legal way, so you can actually police it. But unfortunately, most of our people from all these countries aren't coming in the legal way. So therefore, It's impossible to implement.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Need something now but want to spread the cost? With Hum, you can shop at thousands of stores with easy, flexible payments. No hidden fees, no stress. Apply today at shophum.com. More life for your money. Flexify Europe Limited, trading as Hum, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Jess, what has Kevin said that's after annoying you?
There's an ism for everything, isn't there? That's what Kevin's point is. Linguistics, racism. Where do you pull that term out of? Never heard of that in my life.
Well, congratulations, you just learned something new.
Oh, you're a cheeky one. Okay, I can get cheeky as well. It's called basic integration. I'm not going to go to Japan with no Japanese, am I? I'm not going to go to Russia with no Russian. I'm not going to go to another country without knowing the basics of that language, correct?
Fair, that's a fair point.
So how is it that loads of people are coming in here without a lick of the tongue? Because they're not bothering. They can get Duolingo on their phone. They can get a tape, I'm sure, in one of their bookshops or a CD in their bookshops and learn it. It's not like this massive thing where you need to get a master's degree in or a bachelor's degree in. Just download Duolingo, get yourself some basics, and when you come here, sign up for an English class.
And so you do that every time you go away to Spain or France for a holiday, do you? Do you integrate yourself with the culture on your holidays?
Well, yeah, because if I'm there for a holiday, I'm there to experience the culture, aren't I? I'm going to learn a bit of basic, whatever the language is, to get me through the trip. It's basic integration. Like, I don't know how other ways to say it to you. I don't know what the linguistics I could use for you.
Well, that's just what it is. It is linguistic racism.
It's not. Would you go to Japan without a lick of Japanese in you? No, you wouldn't, because you wouldn't understand a word what people are saying. People need to understand you, and you need to understand people.
Again, I'd go with the basics, and I'd learn there. The best way to learn a language is to immerse yourself in.
People are coming here without the basics, Kevin. That's the point. They're not even having the basics.
Yeah, but again, you still have to learn. Like, I mean,
learn before you come over.
I didn't speak any Italian when I went over to do my chef's training. I had to learn while I was there.
That was your problem. That was your problem. You decided not to learn a bit of Italian. That was your fault. You didn't pick up a dictionary and learn a bit of the language. That's your fault.
Okay, so let me ask you then, Jess, and I mentioned this already. If you are a European Union citizen, there is no obligation on you at all. You're entitled to come and live and work here, just like I'm entitled to go and live and work in Spain or Poland or wherever. We're talking mainly about people from outside of the European Union. Do you think that people should have to do a test before they're granted leave to stay in this country?
100%. Written, oral and aural. Like, I don't see what's linguistically racist about that. That's just basic integration.
Okay, it's just basic integration, Kevin.
Who's going to pay for it? Can I ask you, who's going to pay for that test?
I'd rather pay for them to do tests than pay for translators that cost about $4 million a year. I nearly got sick when I heard that.
And if doing all those tests with the amount of immigrants that come into Ireland on a daily basis, it's going to cost a lot more than that $4 million, Jess.
And so be it. At least they'll know the language. I'd rather have loads of people coming in knowing the language than loads coming in and not. I think it'd be for the greater good. But you're gonna say that's linguistic racist, which is just an absolute shite term if I've ever heard one.
Sorry, say again. My wife keeps talking beside me and I can't hear what anyone's saying.
I said it'd be for the greater good if we get them to do tests.
Yeah, well, let them
like
come
I
over
said,
the
all they have
there,
to do, all they have to do is download Duolingo on their phone or get a dictionary or a thesaurus, start learning a bit of words. We're not asking them to do a whole Shakespeare play when they land. We just need to know a bit of the basics so we can understand them.
But I already said I think people should have the basics. I don't know why you're arguing with me.
Yeah, but you also went to Italy without the basics, so you're a bit of a hypocrite, aren't you?
Sorry, what?
I said you went to Italy without knowing a bit of Italian, so you're a bit of a hypocrite, aren't you? They should have the basics.
I went to Italy without knowing Italian, but I learned when I was there. Are you going to continue talking over me, or am I going to be allowed to?
You should have known some before you went. Should have known the basics before you went.
The basics, so you're a hypocrite. I knew the basics, but I had to actually learn the actual language while I was there. That's what everyone does. And to turn around and say, oh, you can't come in because you don't speak any other language, I think is wrong.
It's not. Would you rather we have loads of people coming in without knowing the tongue so that we can't understand them and they can't understand us? Like, where do we go from this? people need to understand each other.
Well, they need to understand that people should be allowed in our country, whether they speak English or not.
All right, stay there for 1 second if you can, please, Kevin. Our number is 085 825 2626. A huge interest in this. The question we're asking is, before somebody is granted leave to stay here in Ireland, and again, we can't really talk about European Union citizens because they're entitled to stay here full stop, just as we are in other countries, but should they have to have proficiency in English before being granted leave to stay in Ireland? Keith?
They show about people who's not, can't speak English, like, been not allowed into the country. Like, what a ridiculous thing. You know, the invented thing should be fucking, should have more merit to stopping people from coming in. You know, the borders being dropped to bring them in. But look, I'm sure there's people that came in that had the passports and had everything there, and they just get a job out of the name of diversity, you know, which is fucking, it is wrong in a sense. You know, you ring up somewhere, probably to pay your beans or your phone bill or whatever it is, and you're giving English lessons on the phone. You know, you have to sort of pronounce your words slowly. You know, it's more annoying than fucking anything, you know. Normally when you ring up, you're asking to speak to an Irish person. That sounds fucking racist, doesn't it? But when you have somebody who's literally doesn't understand the words that you're saying to them, and you're giving them an English lesson on what you mean by it, I can't understand really why people want diversity so much. To sit someone on the phone to answer calls to a majority of English speaking people. It's crazy.
Opinions matter. Opinions matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Big purchase on your mind? With Hum, you don't have to put it off, because you can spread the cost with easy, flexible payments at thousands of stores. No hidden fees and no stress. It's simple. Apply online today at shophum.com and start shopping smarter. Hum. More life for your money. Flexify Europe Limited, trading as Hum, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Darren, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Darren?
Good afternoon, Mr. Kennedy.
Now, Darren, what do you want to say on this?
Is Kevin still there? Is he the moron?
Well, that's not really nice, but Kevin, you still there, yeah?
Yes, I'm still here.
He's saying there it's linguistic racism, but then on the other hand, he says you should know the basics. It's either one or the other.
Well, I think you should know the basics. I mean, knowing the basics is different from being fluent.
So you agree? So you agree with Starman?
Ask me a question, I'm trying to answer you. It's different from being fluent. And what the UK are saying is, if you don't speak fluent English, you're out. That, to me, is linguistic racism. Like, as simple as.
But where's this term coming up with linguistic racism? Like, words. You're on about words.
Well, it's the first time I've ever heard it, Kevin. So
He's obviously Anto's brother.
Okay, as far as he's concerned, though. Well, let me turn that, what I was about to ask you, on its head, Kevin. How can you be an active contributing member of society if you can't converse with people in the tongue that we use on this island? How can you?
You can't.
Well, no, he's right, you can't. But this is why I say you should have the basics, because if you have the basics, you can build on that. You can learn. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has the ability to get better. And if you just turn around to everyone and say, oh, no perfect English, get out. Like, you're not going to have a diverse community. You're just going to have a racist state. And like, hold on, I'm not finished. Like, racism isn't just about the colour of your skin. Like, you can be racist against people that have a certain religion. You can be, or in this case, you can be racist against people that don't speak fully English. And I'm sorry, that's what it is.
Oh my God, kind of... get a grip of yourself, will you? In my job, I'm surrounded by foreigners. And when a foreigner comes up to me asking to get a car lifted around, and he says, oh, no English, you come with... I says, no, you go off and learn some English and come back to me. Or other times I'll say to him really quick, oh, look, there's 50 euro on the ground. And he'll turn around and look on the ground. These people only want selective English. That's all it is. They well understand money, but they don't understand when they want to integrate. They don't integrate. They spend their lives hanging around their own people, going to their own language shops. They don't go to any Irish shops. If you can, like, if I go to Spain, I like to even say hola a few words. A few words. And I'm only on holidays there. If I was going to Spain for 10 years, I would be fluent in Spanish after a year or two, I would say. These people do not want to learn English. And if they don't want to learn English, how are you supposed to integrate? And if you don't integrate, get the fuck out.
Well, yeah, the key word there is that people want to learn. You just said that if you went to Spain, that you'd be fluent in a year or two. So if you went to Spain, do you think it'd be right if they kicked you out for not having fluent Spanish immediately?
Well, I wouldn't stand it. If I had no Spanish, they'd kick me out. Yeah, that's fair enough. How the hell is that racism? You can't say at and against anyone of an ethnic minority without the likes of you calling them racist. It's actually pathetic.
Darren,
well, in my view, that's what it is. You're okay, entitled to think it's pathetic.
Darren, let me ask you then.
I disagree.
How much English should somebody have before they are allowed to stay in this country? Before they're given leave to stay. So are the basics...
The basics.
Is the basics an interview where you have to be able to converse with the person interviewing you?
Say hello, goodbye, how much? The basics. The same way you have basic Spanish when you go on holiday. And if you're here, like, your man Joseph Pusse is here 10 years and he had to have an interpreter. That, and he got a house handed to him by the state.
In fairness, as Kevin argued, that could have been a scam just to slow the trial down and everything else.
Even if it was a scam, he should have been fucked out of the country after a year or two and not working.
That's another day's work, all right. 085-825-2626 is our WhatsApp number if you would like to get involved in this. Louise, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Louise?
Hi, lads. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Louise. Should people from outside of the EU, because it can really only apply to them, people from outside of the EU, should they have to have fairly good English before they're granted leave to stay here?
I think so, definitely.
Should you have to have... decent English before you're given Irish citizenship.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I had to do like a test. I had to do a culture test. I had to study for 4 weeks before I did the test.
Where was this?
Spain. They asked you like 100 questions, all about like the artists that they had back in the 60s and the 50s. You asked loads of culture of Andalusia, like every region, the 17 autonomous regions, you need to know at least 5 or 6 different things about those. And then you have to do a language test, and you have to get 70% in the language test, and if you don't get 70%, you can't apply. You have to wait till next year. So it's quite tough like that. Like there are people that don't bother even applying for the nationalities or anything like that.
That's what I was
like
about to say. I assume this is to gain residency or citizenship, is it?
Well, to gain residency, it's a little bit different. That's because, I mean, the first step is you come over. You stay over the 90 days if you want to stay. Well, then you have to go through like a huge, big rigmarole. Now, when I moved here years ago, there wasn't such a thing as this. It was easy. I got mine within 10 or 15 days. But nowadays, like, there's a lot of criteria you have to have. You have to have health insurance for a year, even though Spanish, the health system is free here. You need to have health insurance for a year, 60K in the bank if you're a couple.
Even if you're a European Union citizen, like an Irish citizen?
Yeah, exactly. But you want to make your life in Spain, you have to have this.
Okay, yeah, go on. So I thought it was just the Brits that needed all this sort of stuff.
No, the Irish as well. And then once you have all that for the year, then you're just sort of treated then as a normal citizen, you know, that sort of way. Like you have the same rights as any European citizen, any Spanish, like sort of.
Okay, so basically in order for you to be granted residency status in Spain, you had to jump through a load of hoops in terms of language and culture.
I didn't really, because years ago it was a lot more slack, like it was easy. But nowadays, no, it's not like that. If you don't have a job, for example, let's say you're moving over and you don't have a job, so you can get it by being contracted here, but it has to be more than like a season. You know, I'm in Ibiza, so it has to be more than like the 6 months of the season. You have to be contracted like for at least, I think it's at least 9 months or a year. If you have that contract, no problem. You can come over and you can set up your life here. But if you're just coming over and you don't have a job yet, you have to have 60K in the bank for a couple.
Right, okay. So if you lost your job tomorrow, could you be thrown out of Spain?
No. No.
Because you're there now. You're there now. Okay.
I'm there now. Yeah, I bought my papers and all that. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So do you think that people should have to do tests like that to be granted either leave to stay in this country or citizenship? Should you have to jump through all those hoops in terms of knowing all about Irish culture, speaking the language and everything else? Should you have to do that?
Absolutely, Adrian. Absolutely. Because the country has gone to the docks. I mean, I tune in every day. As you know, I listen to podcasts every day. I catch up on the weekend. I listen to the news and all that sort of stuff. I read a lot what's going on. Like, I'm really still interested in what's going on in Ireland, you know. And as far as I can see, the country's in shit. Like, it's terrible. And the amount of immigrants that are coming in, like, believe it or not, like, it wouldn't have been like Anthony there, but you know, I'd say, oh, listen, give him a chance and all, but not now, how things are going.
Okay,
so if
you're applying to stay in this country and you don't have any English, you should be told off you go. See ya.
If you don't have any English, and not only that, Adrian, if you don't have anything to contribute to the country.
But as well, I know this is slightly different, but if you talk to a lot of Spanish people, they feel the same way about Irish and Brits living and working in Spain. Now, obviously, the majority of Irish people that do move to Spain, they are contributing like yourself. But a lot of places in Spain have been ruined some parts of Spain you can go to. I can't remember of the town. There's a town up near on the Costa Dorada. And I watched a documentary about it on YouTube a few weeks ago, and it's like mini London or like mini Liverpool or something like that. There's literally nothing Spanish about it left. And in fact, I'm on a Facebook page for a place that I go to in Spain regularly, and there's a Facebook page where people post on it, tourists post on it. And there was a big debate on the page the other day because a load of Brits were posting on the page wondering why they can't get a chipper in the town. And they're like, I want a chipper in this town. Now, like, it's Spain.
Jeremy, I'll tell you now, Jeremy, it's not like that with the Irish. They love the Irish over here because we make the effort. But the Brits don't. I have a neighbour, he's 27 years here, he doesn't have a word of Spanish, but at least he can manage a gracias and hola. That's the end of it. To not a sort of way, like, it's madness. Like, my friend, when I moved over here, she's fluent in English, but she said to me after a year, listen, I'm not speaking to you in English anymore. You're going to have to, like, organise yourself, like, your daily routine, going to the post office, going to the bank, going to the dentist, making a doctor's appointment, all of that stuff. You have to have basic Spanish, at least where I live, because the official language here is Catalan. You know, that sort of way. So you have to have basic Spanish. Luckily, I'm fluent. I made sure.
Yeah, but would you agree? Sorry, the term was Mojácar, by the way. Is that how it's pronounced? Mojácar.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Mojácar. And
apparently, it's like you may as well be in Luton. Like, there's nothing Spanish about it.
I know.
Sorry, that Luton's not a very good example. You go to Luton, and there's not a native Englishman inside.
You know what I mean?
It's not a good example. Yeah. Anyway, stay there for a second. I want to just bring in a few more opinions on this. And John, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How you doing, Adrian? How you doing, man?
Now, John, should you have to pass a test in English before you're allowed to stay in this country?
Yeah, I'd like to see that happen. I would, you know. The mere basics, you know. And I'd like to see a few requirements, Adrian. I'd like to see from non-EU countries to have a passport. And I'd like to see people coming into the country that has a few quid. And your intentions, you know, and proof that you have a few quid in your account. The likes of the way, you know, any other citizen goes to any other country. And if they're asked to produce that over in America or Canada or anywhere else, your intentions are. And how much you have to support yourself and how you're going to survive coming to a country. You know, it's all the basics that should be, you know, put in you know, this should be all basic. You know, and Starmer is right in his own way. You know, I don't like Starmer. Be honest with you, I don't. I hate the fucker. But the fact of the matter is, he's not far wrong here, guys. You know, and we all should take a leaf out of the book that he's putting up out here, because we should have done this a long time ago. Because if you don't have money to support yourself coming into a country, so how are you going to survive? You know, what other country, you know, take for example, guys, where I'm coming from here, you go over to America there, how are you going to survive? You'll be left out in the fucking streets, you know. You will be left out in the streets unless you find work very quick.
In America, there's no language requirement because there's no official language of America.
There actually is, as of a presidential order a few weeks ago. English is now the official language.
I do agree with you, John. I've been to parts of New York. When you go uptown in New York, up to Harlem and stuff like that, Spanish Harlem and stuff like that, you literally will not hear English being spoken at all. It's like being in a different country. It really is.
I just want to say something to you there, JD. I was out in town there the weekend with a couple of friends there and the missus, happy lot. I'm not messing with you guys. When the pub's broken, you're out getting your something to eat there, and we were coming back down O'Connell Street there. gangs and gangs of people just talking in their own language. Like, nobody was talking. It was crazy, you know. It's frightening, actually. And it was frightening.
Frightening?
To see the way it was
frightening.
Gangs and gangs of foreigners in their own language, like it, and not.
How do you think the Spanish people feel when busloads of Irish tourists arrive? Hang on, John.
These weren't integrating, these weren't out in Irish pubs, Jeremy. This is what I'm saying to you. They're colonising O'Connor Street. I don't know why. They're not in the pubs like me and you. We weren't out for it. They went out for a Saturday night for a meal and a few drinks. They were just standing around there, like in fucking groups, and I mean of 20 and 30. You know, this is very it is frightening for anybody who's coming home on their own or whatever it may be. Like, you know, where the fuck, if we stood around 20 of us Irish people at night on a Saturday night, I tell you one thing, Jeremy, we'd be told to move on.
But that isn't the conversation.
I know
about
it's
groups
a different
hanging
story.
Around.
Yeah.
But as far as being granted citizenship or even leave to stay in this country, you believe you should have a good grasp of English, because believe it or not,
grasp of English, a few quid and a fucking passport.
Okay, believe it or not, Ireland is one of the few countries in the European Union that don't require English or any language, actually, proficiency in any language at all.
We didn't know this until Eric Kira, a researcher here, looked this up. And it's actually hard to find it. It took about 20 minutes to find it. And yeah, Ireland is only one of three EU countries
that doesn't have a language requirement.
You could literally become an Irish citizen and the only language you speak is Swahili.
All right, let me squeeze in a few more opinions before we wrap this up. This is Neil.
Lads, I got a call yesterday from a certain company to update something, and I couldn't understand her. I literally couldn't understand her. And I had to try and put my ear to the phone, and I had to say, sorry, there's a bit of traffic going past, I couldn't hear you there. So after the third attempt that I couldn't understand her, I just said, listen, I'm going to have to go now on my phone. I can't really hear you properly. There's something on my phone. Is that racist? I fucking doubt it. I really doubt it. Can't speak English. No point coming over here. If you can speak English but we can't understand your accent, don't come over here either. Unfortunately, I wasn't rude yesterday, but I couldn't understand that person. I felt I was rude, but it's not being rude if you can't understand something. It's the way it is. It's the way we are. Cheers, lads.
All right, and finally, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, boys. Sorry I can't come on. I know it's a bit of a late message, but you won't get time to play. But yeah, no, they should know at least the basics coming into the country, and they should put on English-speaking courses as a matter of urgency when they do enter the country. But the only reason Keir Starmer is doing this, which seems to be lost in this argument, is because he got his ass kicked, the Labour Party did, by reform in England. He doesn't actually mean it. It's just more hot air and bluster from a plastic dictator. So Keir Starmer doesn't actually mean this. He's just hoping that it'll hold the argument long enough to where the people forget about reform in England. And that's not going to happen, because Nigel Farage will be the next Prime Minister of the UK. And then you will see the changes being implemented. But until then, Keir Starmer is just blowing hot air. Now, he might get time to play this, but I just thought I'd drop a quick one anyway.
All right, Jonathan, we did get time to play it.
Sorry, by the way, to people who are annoyed at my comment about Spain and the Spanish not liking tourists and thinking that Spain would go under without tourism, believe it or not, and again, thank you to our Keir, she's playing a blinder today, tourism to Spain only accounts for 12% of Spain's GDP.
12 is still very high.
Yeah,
it's very, very high.
But it's not. The country wouldn't collapse without tourism.
All right, thank you very much indeed for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. Please hit subscribe or follow, click on the bell icon on Spotify, and you'll be notified every time we upload a new episode. We'll catch you on the next one.